about time for somebody's favorite radio program.
Well, I'm not a crook.
It's called personality, Dick.
Hi, Dick. Dick, the gentlemen are here.
It's time for the Dick Schaefer Show.
Let up, will you, Dick?
I could sand that for you, Dick.
970 KDSF.
Good luck, Dick.
Pure Dragon Sports Talk Affiliate. Affiliate.
Gee, Dick, now you gave away the ending.
I hope you don't mind, Dick.
With all due respect, Mr. Dick.
Come on, Dick, you said you wouldn't tease.
You don't know Dick.
I-70 KDSF, your home for Giants Federation and Rainfire coverage. It's the Dick Schaefer Show. Good afternoon, everybody. It's 3:05 here. We're coming to you. This is FSL Championship Week. We've got the Federation, of course, taking on the Riven. No, who is it? It's I'm having a blank here. Dickman, help me out here. I'm drawing a blank. They're playing. Who are they?
The Gallifrey Time Lords.
Gallifrey Time Lords, I knew that. We are, this is Wednesday, so that means we're 3 days away from the championship match. The whole world, the whole FSL world will be descending upon San Francisco. They're already getting in there. We've been doing a couple appearances on, I just got done going on Gallifrey G1000, the time zone, the Gallifrey affiliate, and we're going to try to have someone from Gallifrey come on our show. I don't know, are we still working on that Dickman? Are we going to get him this hour?
We are still efforting that.
Okay, so we're efforting that, he tells me. So we're going to try to get someone from Gallifrey out. We're going to talk a little FSL, talk about how these teams match up. Of course, we'll have our picks later in the week for you for the game. We're still hopeful that we will come out to 60%. It's not looking good. We went over the picks Monday, but I sitting here at 23-19-3, that's 52%. So getting one more right isn't going to take us to 60. So we'll worry about that later in the week. And I found out earlier in the week they've asked us to host the special edition of FSL Countdown, the pregame show before the championship game, being as we are the home affiliate here, the home team, the game being played here in San Francisco. So we're going to be hosting FSL Countdown across the Dragon Sports Talk Network.
We're going to be. You mean we're going to be on nationwide?
Well, I am. I don't know if I'm going to have you on the air. You know, this is kind of a big deal. We don't want to we don't want to, you know, just screw around with it. We're going to be putting this out there across the Dragon Sports Network. So we'll be hosting that, and I will be giving my lead pipe lock for the championship game. We're going to be giving that on the FSL Countdown pregame show right before kickoff. So Friday afternoon in our regular show, we're not going to have our final pick for the game, but we will we'll have that. We will talk about the game and maybe have some general predictions about the game. But for our lead pipe block, we'll be giving our prediction right before kickoff. So be sure to listen and listen to the game. It's right here on 970 KDSF and all across the Dragon Sports Talk Network. We've also got the NFL season all just right around the corner. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers will open up Sunday, September 9th, against the New York Jets at MetLife Stadium, which will be the site of Super Bowl 48 in February. Our San Francisco 49ers here, they will open up at Green Bay. A bunch of games. Of course, it all starts a week from tomorrow, where the Denver Broncos and the Baltimore Ravens will kick off the season on Thursday night. Still got one more week of exhibition games tomorrow. All those games will be tomorrow. The final preseason game's not going to see a lot of action. I don't know who the Jets are going to have at quarterback. Apparently, this whole thing, I want to talk about that in the second hour, Rex Ryan and what's going on there. But speaking of this opening night game in Denver, a little bit of a kerfuffle. The fans there are upset that there's a banner of Joe Flacco being hung outside of Invesco Mile High Stadium. The now, of course, you know the Super Bowl champions are the Baltimore Ravens, and they are opening the season with the opening Thursday night game. As is tradition, the Super Bowl champion gets the home game. They open up and they promote the home, the Super Bowl champion, defending champions, kicking off their defense of the trophy. Well, they thanks to they're in Baltimore. The Orioles have a baseball stadium right next to a football stadium, and they can't play a football and a baseball game at the same time or the same day or whatever due to the traffic nightmare. They tried to petition Major League Baseball to move the Orioles game, and the Orioles certainly could have obliged if they wanted to have the Ravens open at home. But they did not oblige. The Orioles said, no, this is our schedule. We're sticking to it. And so the they tried to make other arrangements, but as it is, the Ravens have to go on the road to open their traditional kickoff Thursday night game. And it'll be a great game, a rematch against possibly next year's Super Bowl champions. A lot of people picking the Broncos. John Elway is second year with this Bronco team. Of course, it's very hard to predict. And every year we've got Super Bowl favorites, and it always seems to be someone else that winds up on top. But it's very hard to say this far out who's the best team, and we'll find out in December and January who the best teams truly are. But a lot of the smart money is on the Denver Broncos, very interesting that now the Bronco fans, now, you know what, you got a home game that you probably didn't deserve. I mean, they still have 8 home games. The schedule will be rearranged, and the schedule will work out fine. But the now they're complaining there's a picture of Joe Flacco. Well, you know what? You're not the Super Bowl champions. You got the Super Bowl champions on the road. And it's not just Flacco. There's a picture of Elway, too. I mean, of Peyton Manning on the other side. So, just live with it, Bronco fans. Speaking of NFL, though, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're going to start our NFL predictions each day coming up over the next week. We're going to predict each division of the NFL and then give you our Super Bowl, our playoff and Super Bowl picks, and we'll be doing that over the next week. So that's where that goes. We got more coming up. We're going to talk a little more of Federation, a little bit about Johnny Manziel, that thing's going on, and much more. So stay with us here. It's the Dick Schaefer Show. We're just getting started on a Wednesday afternoon. You're listening to 970 KDSF, your home for Giants, Federation, and Rainfire coverage.
You're listening to the Dick Schaefer Show on 970 KDSF AM, your Dragon Sports Talk affiliate.
Hi, everybody. I want to tell you about the newest place in San Francisco to get your fresh fish. It's the freshest fish right off of the boat. It's so fresh, we sell it still kicking. That's right, you heard that right, still kicking. In ice, but still kicking. If you want to take it home, put it in your koi pond and let it swim around and age a few days, that's fine with us. You've heard about the Kingmans in Anchorage, Alaska. Now you don't need to go to the Great White Northwest to get the freshest fish. We've got our own location opening right here in San Francisco. And every day we have the day's fresh catch on special. We have it all. Catfish, snapper, Kubera snapper, amberjack. We have catfish, grouper, cod, scrod. Want to get scrod? You can get scrod. You can get royally scrod at Kingman's Fish Market. How about more catfish? We've got roosterfish, wahoo, bluefin wahoo, or how about some dorado for that special mahi-mahi you've always wanted to cook up? We've got it all. We've got more catfish. No guarantee what kind of fish that comes in on the fresh catch every day, but there's one guarantee. We'll always have catfish. Kingman's Fish Market, between Chinatown and Japantown, right off the Knob Hill.
Hi, this is Tom Merritt from FSL Tonight, and you're listening to The Dick Schaefer Show on your Dragon Sports Talk affiliate, 970 KDSF.
Back at 970 KDSF, your home for Giants Federation and Rainfire coverage. This hour of the Dick Schaefer Show is brought to you by Ruinem, the taste sensation it brings down civilizations. We are going to start in the next segment, our NFL predictions, like we were talking about earlier. Today we're doing the AFC, so we're going to go down and talk about all of those teams. I would be remiss if I didn't spend a little more time talking about the Federation. This is to say that this team really came out of nowhere. I admit that back at the beginning of the year, I did not think they were going to win more than four games. This team has really been a team of destiny to come together the way they have, and they've gelled as an offense, as a defense, and then, I mean, even just Picard and Worf and Data, the nucleus that we brought into this league, and then a little punch every now and then from Wesley Crusher. This team was strong. This team was solid. They were ready to compete. And then to add to the mix Spock and Kirk and McCoy, this team has really dominated this league, and they're in a position like no other. And I think you can't underplay the fact that McCoy and Kirk have unfinished business from last year, from the championship game with Vulcan when they lost to Lannisport. So, I mean, you really have to look strongly at this team. We are really watching what could be the beginning of a dynasty here in the FSL, and I really look to see not only how they play this weekend, but how this team will hold up in future years. I mean, we really could be talking about a team that is winning championships. And I look back at how earlier when the season was started, we had fans talking about they're going to win multiple championships, how good this team is. And, I mean, we scoffed at them. We didn't really put any faith in that, but right now, if you look at this team on paper, this team is the best team that the FSL has seen in 3 years now. And I know we don't want to jinx anything, because the Gallifrey Time Lords are definitely a formidable opponent, and they will give the Federation a run for their money here. But I mean, if we execute the way we've executed, we've won seven games in a row now, the last six of the regular season, to finish 8-2, and then we won a playoff game against New York last week. I mean, this team is really in a position to, if they just play their game and just do the things they should do, there should be no reason we're not sitting here next Monday talking about our FSL champion, San Francisco Federation. So, you know, that's all I have to say about that right now. I mean, this team really needs to just go out and keep doing what it does, and it should have no problems with the Time Lords. So often is the case, outside of Kirk, Spock, and McCoy, these teams have not been in the spotlight yet, and you really can't underplay what it is to be on the big stage. But then Gallifrey has not been on the big stage before either, so it's really, you know, to see two promoted teams in a championship game is really something fascinating. I can only suspect that it will be a game for the ages, and it's either going to be a coronation of a championship dynasty, or it's going to be a hiccup on the way to perhaps spurring them on to further titles down the road, much a la the Miami Heat when they lost to Dallas in 2011, and now they've come back and won the last two NBA championships. So we'll talk much more about the FSL all week long, but we will also be getting ready for the NFL season. You're listening to the Dick Shaver Show at 970 KDSF, your home for Giants Federation and Rain Fire coverage.
You're listening to the Dick Shaver Show on 970 KDSF AM, your Dragon Sports Talk affiliate.
Okay. The Elamites introduced it to Sumeria's Ibi-Sin, and it led to the sack of Ur. A gift to the Roman Emperor from Alari of the Visigoths led to the sack of Rome. Mamai Khan supplanted vodka in Moscow with it in 1382 before Moscow fell. Why didn't the Maginot Line hold? You guessed it. Prohibition couldn't stop it. Why should you try? Ruin them from the robust vineyards of Young and Brushwood. Get sacked.
Ruinum is a fortified wine, 20% gross volume alcohol content. Warning, do not operate heavy machinery under the influence of Ruinum. Pregnant women should not drink Ruinum. Ruinum is not available in Massachusetts, Delaware, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Rhode Island, Montana, South Dakota, Utah, Vermont, and Hawaii. Ruinum is not responsible for death, dismemberment, or the fall of your civilization. Order Ruinum at Ruinum.com. Get sacked.
Your home for Giants Federation Raid Fire Coverage. Dick Schaefer, it's the Dick Schaefer Show, and I'm sitting here looking at this Johnny Manziel thing. You know, this guy, he won the Heisman last year as a freshman. Nobody knew who he was coming into the season, and apparently there was this whole thing where he signed a whole bunch of autographs down here at the Orange Bowl, you know, I don't know, 3,000 or something, and people are saying if he got paid for it, then he should be ineligible, NCAA rules and all this, and the schools are making these millions. That's a whole different argument. I don't want to get into that, but the thing is, they're putting this the onus on them to make a decision, and they're going to come down. They're investigating, but they're telling them they're not going to give them the decision until they come out with a decision. And so they have to decide. So if they don't play him, I guess, is this how it's working? If they don't play him and then they find out he was ineligible, then he's okay to play. But if they do play him, but then they find out he's ineligible, they will retroactively make him forfeit any games he played in. I think that's stupid. I mean, that is just totally unfair. While they're investigating, there shouldn't be a threat of, okay, well, if you broke the rules and we're going to find out, then later we're going to retroactively forfeit games you played in while ineligible. I mean, what do they expect they do? If they hold him out, then they're admitting that they think he broke a rule and that they're going to find that he broke the rule. So they might use that against him. But if they don't hold him out, then so what they want them to do is to decide. I mean, okay, first of all, you don't probably need Johnny Manziel to beat Rice. I mean, let's be honest here. It's Rice, for crying out loud. So if you hold him out just on the chance that he might be guilty, that's going to look to the NCAA investigators as well. They hold him out. They must think he's guilty. What must they know? Okay, but now if you play him, but like I said, though, if you hold him out, you're just taking it off the board of a chance that it may be forfeited if, I mean, they might have a witness that we don't know about. I don't know. But, I mean, the question is, do you think he received money for autographs or not? I mean, and why is that even illegal? I mean, we should talk about that. But, I mean, that's a whole different argument that many people many people have brought up many a time that these players should be played. We look at all the millions of dollars in revenue they're bringing into the schools with these television contracts and all this stuff, and they should get a little stipend. I mean, maybe he should just have like a little sprained ankle or something, just to say, hey, we're going to sit him out. Like I said, you don't need him to beat Rice. If you need him to beat Rice, then your team's not that good. I mean, this they're supposed to be a national championship contender this year. I just don't understand how okay, first of all, if he took money, if he took cash and there's no paper trail of it, and if everybody keeps quiet and anybody, and like they said, if any agents are involved in this, they're not going to say a word because they want to work with players in the future as well. So, you know, I don't know. This kid, he can't go to class. He's got to take all his classes by computer online because he goes to class. All the classmates want his autograph all the time. You know, we're really making these. I mean, It's really disgusting. You know, he should just go on to the NFL. I mean, you know, college football is supposed to be amateurs, and they talk all about the student athlete and all this stuff. But, I mean, when you really get right down to it, the athlete is an employee of the college who's he's bringing in revenue. I'm talking about the football, the stars. I mean, this is a big business. You know, you got all these other sports that are dependent upon the income that the football team and the basketball teams bring in. But these other sports, you know, those are student athletes. The kids that are playing golf, and there's a few, you know, a few college golf stars that are going to go on to the PGA Tour and make lots of money. And just like in these other, but these other sports, you take like swimming and volleyball and all this stuff, they're not going to be professional $1 million athletes. You know, they're athletes in the sense that they are playing for their school. They go to class just like everybody else. But these football stars, you know, that are recruited because they're stars, and they make millions of dollars trading off of their life. And the video games. Talk about the video games. They make millions of dollars selling these video games with these students' likenesses in there. And the school sells merchandise with these kids' likeness on it. The kids don't get a cut out of it. It is a form of indentured servitude is what it is. They can't go to the NFL. They can't go early. The NFL is in cahoots with them. You know, this whole thing is a racket. And these kids, they ought to get money. They even, I was reading about this thing with Greg Anthony was a basketball player. He was in college, and he started a business selling T-shirts. I mean, he did it. It was legitimate business. It wasn't like, you know, him getting money just for putting his name on something. This was legitimate. He was running the business. And the NCAA came to him, and they said, you got to stop selling the business because you're a scholarship athlete. So he offered to turn in his scholarship because he was making more money selling T-shirts than the value of the scholarship. But they said, no, that would invalidate his eligibility. So he had to quit doing that. This NC is a bunch of, I don't want to use the word Nazis, you know, a bunch of these, you know, there's a huge negatory connotation with the term Nazi, but it's a power hungry type situation where they've got the power and so they use it. But it's something needs to be done. I think over the next 10 to 20 years, you're going to see a huge change in the way college sports and the NCAA is run. At least you're going to have to, because this is untenable the way that the situation is set up right now. All right, well, we've got a lot more to get to this hour, in this show. This hour is about winding down. We're going to, in the next hour, give you our predictions for the AFC East as we move on towards the 2013 NFL season, getting ready to kick off in about a week. Also got the UWFFL. They're off this week. They start next week as well. Your San Francisco Rain Fire went 1-2 in the preseason. And they look to compete in the regular season as we move along here toward the fall sports as the FSL is wrapping up. Baseball, of course, is in full swing. And before you know it, it's going to be time for basketball and hockey again. So we'll be covering all those things here on the Dick Shaver Show. This is 970 KDSF, your home for Giants Federation and Rain Fire coverage.
You're listening to the Dick Shaffer Show on 970 KDSF AM, your Dragon Sports Talk affiliate.
Overnight Hauling Radio,
a long haul convoy podcast bringing you great music from unsigned, underground, and indie labels straight from the docks to your ear holes. And you can hear OHR on the Sport Puck Network.
At sportpuck.com.
We're back. back on 970 KDSF, your home for Giants Federation Rainfire coverage. This is Dick Schaefer. It's the Dick Schaefer Show, and it's time now for our annual NFL predictions. We are going to be, over the next week or so, breaking down each division in the NFL and telling you what teams are going to be good, what teams are going to be bad, and eventually come down to a Super Bowl prediction. Of course, this February, the Super Bowl is going to be played in New Jersey at MetLife Stadium, the home of the New York Giants and the New York Jets, on February 2nd. Just the other day, I saw the Farmers Almanac release their 2014 winner 2014 predictions, and they said it's calling for a major snowstorm to hit the New York area right around the time of the Super Bowl. So I think that'll be great if we do, you know, they wanted to give New York a Super Bowl thanks to the 9/11. I guess to commemorate 9/11.
Commemorate 9/11?
Well, I don't mean commemorate 9/11, like the tower. I mean, like, in honor of, well, I don't know, again, yeah, explain that to me. We're commemorating 9/11?
Yeah, that doesn't sound right. That was a bad thing. I think, like, 2,000 people died. It's, I don't think you want to commemorate, maybe they mean, like, commemorate the firefighters.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. We'll commemorate the firefighters by honoring, I don't know what. I don't know why it had something to do with 9/11. I guess you just the area is rebuilding after 9/11. They're rebuilding Ground Zero, and you know, you want to honor. You know, it's just very funny the way when you phrase it like that, commemorating 9/11, but commemorating It's very funny when you phrase it like that, but, you know, commemorating the rebuilding spirit of New York. Anyway, we'll start, speaking of New York, we're going to start, like I said, with the AFC's home of the New York Jets. And is it any surprise that I'm not going to pick the Jets to win that division? Let's start, we'll go alphabetically. MNN, Jets, Bills. Buffalo Bills is alphabetically first, but they're not going to win the division either. I just saw they're going to be starting an undrafted rookie, Jeff Toole, at quarterback. They brought in E.J. Manuel and in the draft, and he's going to be their long-term solution. Their short-term solution was supposed to be Kevin Cobb, but he got a concussion. His career could be over. He's hurt. And then just the other day, they signed Matt Leinart, who has proven that you know, potential is a dangerous thing if you don't meet it. And so, I don't know if – I think E.J. Manuel, in the long run, Doug Marrone, a rookie head coach, I think this team is good. Buffalo started off good last year, but then they fell apart. And so that's why Chan Gailey got fired. And, I mean, I really thought last year they were going to make a move to get up to 500 and maybe threaten for a wild card, but they just did not come together. And so this year is really a beginning, a new era in Buffalo, and I think in a couple years this team could be good with Doug Marrone, E.J. Manuel. Of course, they got C.J. Spiller, the running back out of Clemson, who's had a good couple years, and they've got a good defense. But putting together the sum of the parts doesn't make a complete team, and with new systems in offense and defense, I think that this team is still a few steps away from being competitive, and I'm going to put Buffalo at 6-10. That's our prediction for Buffalo, 6-10. And that brings us to the Miami Dolphins. Now, the Dolphins are in their second year under head coach Joe Philbin, and Ryan Tannehill, this team is looking good. I tell you what, they've got a good defense, good offense. They just need to gel, and I think in a season, in a division with Tom Brady, you know, the Jets are down, the Bills are still up and coming. I think this is definitely a moment for the Dolphins to make a move and threaten the Patriots, probably not win the division, but threaten the Patriots and get right up there. I'm going to pick that Miami's going to go 10-6. That's 6-10 for Buffalo, 10-6 for Miami. And that leaves two other teams, the New England Patriots and the New York Jets. I think the New England Patriots, after going to the Super Bowl a year ago and then this past year losing in the AFC Championship game, to Baltimore. You know, they're right there, and they are the team that they've been. They, of course, lost a lot on offense. They don't know who Brady's going to throw the ball to. Welker is gone, and another guy's gone. And then, of course, you got the tight end who's in prison, and Gronkowski is hurt. You know, it's definitely a team where they have a strong nucleus, and you know they're going to be good. But how good is the question? And I think when you start taking pieces like Wes Welker out and Aaron Hernandez, say what you will, he was an important part of their offense last year. But I have faith in Bill Belichick that they can keep it together. And barring a Brady injury, not that I don't think Ryan Mallett couldn't step in and do as good a job this year as Matt Castle did in 2008 when they went 11-5 when Brady was out for the season getting injured in the first game. I think that this team is still one of the best teams in the NFL, and I'm going to pick 13-3 for New England. So I got New England at 13-3, Miami at 10-6, and Miami at 10-6, and Buffalo at 6-10, and that leaves us with the New York Jets. Now, much has been made in the media over the past couple of days of Rex Ryan and you know, he went with Geno Smith in the third preseason game for three quarters, and he looked awful. He threw three interceptions. He looked like Dan Orlovsky running out of the back of the end zone, taking a safety. And so what does he do? He puts his potential starter, Mark Sanchez, back in against a third-line offensive line against an aggressive Giants defense that's guys trying to make the team. And, of course, he's heard it from everybody that what a stupid, boneheaded move that was. Now, I'm not going to sit here and defend him or defend the people calling him a boneheaded idiot for making that move, because it was a boneheaded move. But he knows that now. And, you know, you do what you got to do. I think he made his mistake by saying that he was playing to win the game. You know, you play to win the game. You should have had Matt Sims in there. Personally, I watched Matt Sims in the fourth quarter after that game. We're going to get to see a whole game out of Matt Sims and Graham Harrell. They brought in Graham Harrell from Green Bay, and he's going to play the second half of this fourth meaningless preseason game. And then you've also got McElroy. So you've got a bunch of quarterbacks here, but I don't know. Frankly, I think they should just start the season with Matt Sims until Geno Smith is ready and just send Mark Sanchez on his way. Because I think Mark Sanchez proved last season that he's not the answer, short-term or long-term. I mean, they went to two AFC Championship games a few years ago, but it's all imploded now. Now they've got Marty Morningweg running the offense. They've got a new offensive coordinator. And I don't know what this Jets team is going to prove this year, but it's not going to be winning a lot of games. And I pick for the Jets 3-13. So that's New England 13-3, Miami 10-6, Buffalo 6-10, New York Jets 3-13. That's our picks for the AFC East. And we'll be back on the Dick Schaefer Show after this. You're listening to 970 KDSF, your home for Giants Federation and Rain Fire coverage.
You're listening to the Dick Schaefer Show on 970 KDSF AM, your Dragon Sports Talk affiliate.
Hi, this is Tom Merritt from FSL Tonight. You're listening to 970 KDSF, your home for Giants Federation and Rain Fire coverage.
Back on 970 KDSF, your home for Giants Federation Rain Fire coverage. You know, that last segment we did our AFC predictions, and if you missed it, you can check it out on our podcast. We're going to release that as a as one of the podcast episodes, I'm sure, all of our league predictions. We talked a little bit about Rex Ryan, and that brings up another thing I wanted to mention. You talk about the media asking stupid questions. And it was the same thing with this Kevin Sumlin thing. But these guys like Rex Ryan think they're cute. I'm not going to defend them. You know, but when, you know, media have a job to do. And as a member of the media, you know, I look at these questions that these reporters ask, that they have to ask. If they don't ask, they're not doing their job. But you take a guy like Rex Ryan, he's just being a jackass when he gets up there and says what he says. Okay, the reporter asked him, so are you saying there's still a chance that Mark Sanchez could start the season opener? Now, I don't know if he's asking that just from an injury standpoint or he wants him to say something that he's going to quote him out of context or whatever Rex is thinking. But Rex is getting all defenses. Rex's answer was, we'll make that decision when the time has come. Okay, that doesn't answer the question. He's asking you, are you saying that there's still a chance that Mark Sanchez, and he says, I can only answer that the way I'm answering it, and that is that we will make that decision when the time has come. Now, why can't you just say, okay, yes, there is a chance that Mark Sanchez could start the season? He's clearly not saying that there isn't a chance. I mean, my God. And then he gets all defensive. He says, I can say it this way, and he turns sideways. I can say it this way. I can say it this way. We'll make that decision. Just answer the damn question. Why do you gotta be such a jackass to treat these reporters like they don't know what the hell they're talking about? Obviously, yeah, they got a job to do, and so it's easy to say, well, I know you're just doing your job. But no, just answer the goddamn question. Is there a chance Mark Sanchez could start? If there's no chance, if there's zero chance that he's going to start him, healthy or not, or if his shoulder is falling off, maybe there's not a physical chance that he can start injury-wise, then say, yes, there's a chance, there's no chance. But it's to think that because he's asking that question that way, oh, we're trying to turn your words into something that you don't mean just because we're going to take you out of context and not mean what you say and make you say something you don't mean. You know, he has begun the battle. This will clearly be Rex Ryan's last year as a head coach for the New York Jets. I think there is no way that he survives this. You know, you see, it's already, I mean, when Parcells had his thing with the, if I'm going to shop for the thing and buy the groceries for the thing, then I should, or if I'm going to cook the meal, I should buy the groceries. Or wherever the hell that was, you know, that was more directed at the owner. But I mean, just between him and the Big Apple media, I mean, my God, just. And then Kevin Sumlin, it's the same deal with Texas A&M. The guy asks, this is Mark Schwartz, a respected journalist for ESPN. He asks him, so when we take into consideration, what things are we going to take into consideration when you decide whether or not Manziel is going to play? They're just looking for a quote. They're not trying to twist anybody's words into meaning something that it doesn't mean, you know. But he's like, I can't answer that question. You know, I mean, these guys, I don't know. It just makes an awkward situation that much worse, where you know he's asking a question he's got to ask, and you know, and this guy knows he can't answer the question, but he's got to ask it anyway, so he asks it, and then the other guy isn't going to answer it, so he's got to, and it makes him sound like a jackass, like he's just trying to avoid answering a question, but I mean, they put out a statement saying, we're only going to talk about football. Our only concern is getting ready for Rice on Saturday. But, I mean, my God, the way these people talk to the media, you know, I understand, you know, the media is covering the sport is part of why it's so popular. Because, I mean, it is so popular, people want to know what's going on, and it's the media's job to make stories and cover it and to tell the people what's going on. But when these jackasses up here, these coaches, both in college and in pro, they think that they, you know, they're their own little kingdom. And there's none worse than these guys like Belichick and these guys like Nick Saban down there in Alabama. These guys are just like a little dictators, you know, these little dictators down there in their own little fiefdom, and they run that thing. And, you know, you get on the inside or you're on the outside, and these people, they don't want to answer questions. They don't want to take questions. They don't want to, you know, they wouldn't be making millions of dollars in their job as head coaches and as athletic directors / head coaches and as you know, the leaders of these teams. They wouldn't be making that money if it wasn't for the popularity of the sport, and if it wasn't for the media covering these sports, there wouldn't be the popularity. You know, it wouldn't, if they had no press conferences and they never had stories written about them and they never had TV coverage, these guys wouldn't be making nowhere near the money that they're making. So these jackasses get up there and they don't want to answer these questions, and they get all cute and they start saying things like, hello, we play to win the games, and you know, playoffs, I just want to win a game. Playoffs, these guys, really grinds my gears. You know, these jackasses that get up there, they run X's and O's, and they think that they know better than everybody else what, you know, what the deal is. Oh, my God. You know, Rex Ryan, you could take Rex Ryan and his foot fetish and all this other crap and just shove it out the window for all I care. You know, the NFL is here, and it's time that we're going to be covering this crap. But these guys, I'll tell you what, this is the biggest sport in America right now is the National Football League, and these guys need to get their ego notched down about two or three times. You know what I'm saying? Like the opposite of Emerald, with the kick it up a notch, we need to kick them down a couple notches. These guys think that they are gods over there on their squads. I mean, and you look at the way they talk to their players. It's like they're Marine drill instructors. You ever watch that Hard Knock show where they go behind the scenes and you get to see how these, you know... Makes me sick is what it does. It just makes me sick. Anyway, this is Dick Schaefer, The Dick Schaefer Show. I want to hear from you now about that. How do you feel about NFL coaches? Do they abuse their authority? Do they abuse the media? Do they abuse their players? What, you know, when you got Mike Ditka up there talking about if the guy asks him how does it make you feel about how your team played against the Tampa Bay Bucks, and he goes, "What do you care? What do you care? You know how it makes me feel." Or you got Hal McRae, was a manager of the Kansas City Royals, pulling a tantrum, yanking the phone and throwing the phone against the wall, yelling at the media there. You know, these people are just immature jackasses. I'll say it again. So I want to hear from you. 415-513-0970. That's 415-513-0970. Leave your messages and we will or talk to us on the air. We've got a few open lines right now. I want to hear from you. Do you think these jackasses that head coach and manage in these major sports, do you think they're out of line, or do you think that's a necessary part of their job description? You're listening to 970 KDSF, your home for Giants Federation and Rainfire coverage.
You're listening to 970 KDSF AM San Francisco, your Dragon Sports Talk affiliate and your home for Giants Federation and Rainfire sports coverage. Find us on the web at 970kdsf.com.
This has been a production of the Sport Puck Podcast Network. Podcasts are so good, podcasts you love from people that are so good you trust them like you're there or something.